Those are the climate changes that one can observe in Greenland today. How can one learn about past climate? First, because the Greenland Norse were literate, it would have been nice if they had bothered to leave some accounts of Greenland's weather. Unfortunately, they didn't. For Iceland, though, we have many accounts of weather in different years. This information is of some use for understanding the climate in Greenland, because a cold decade in Iceland tends to be cold in Greenland as well, though the agreement isn't perfect. Our second source of information about past Greenland climates consists of pollen samples from cores drilled into lakes and bogs by palynologists. As past climates became colder in Greenland, palynologists find pollen shifting from that of warmth-demanding trees to that of cold-tolerant grasses and sedges. But that same shift in pollen may also mean that the Norse were cutting down trees. By far, our most detailed information about Greenland climates in the past comes from ice cores. Snow that falls each year on Greenland's ice cap becomes compressed by the weight of later years of snow into ice. The warmer the temperature at which snow forms, the higher is the proportion of oxygen 18 in the snow's oxygen. Hence, each year's summer snow is higher in its proportion of oxygen 18 than the same year's winter snow. For the same reason, snow oxygen 18 in a given month of a warm year is higher than in the same month of a cold year. Thus, as you drill down through the Greenland ice cap, something that scientists have now done down to a depth of almost 2 miles, and measure the oxygen 18 proportion as a function of depth, the ice core tells us each year's summer temperature and each year's winter temperature. As a bonus, the thickness of the ice layer tells us the amount of precipitation that fell during that year. In short, we can reconstruct past Greenland climates on a year-to-year basis. What have we thereby learned? Between 800 and 1300, ice cores tell us that the climate in Greenland was relatively mild, similar to Greenland's weather today, or even slightly warmer. Thus, the Norse reached Greenland during a period good for growing hay and pasturing animals. Around 1300, though, the climate in the North Atlantic began to get cooler and more variable from year to year, ushering in a cold period termed the Little Ice Age that lasted into the 1800s. By around 1420, the Little Ice Age was in full swing, and the increased summer drift ice between Greenland, Iceland, and Norway ended ship communication between the Greenland Norse and the outside world. Those cold conditions were tolerable or even beneficial for the Inuit, who could hunt ringed seals, but were bad news for the Norse, who depended on growing hay. To complete our consideration of Greenland's environment, let's mention its native plants and animals. The best developed vegetation is confined to areas of mild climate in the long inner fjords of the western and eastern settlements on Greenland's southwest coast. There, vegetation in areas not grazed by livestock varies by location. At higher elevations and in the outer fjords, the vegetation is dominated by sedges, which are shorter than grasses and have lower nutritional value to grazing animals. Less hostile inland sites mostly support a heath vegetation of dwarf shrubs. The best inland sites carry an open woodland of dwarf birch and willows, with some junipers and alders, and the very best sites with birches up to 30 feet tall. In areas grazed today by sheep and horses, the vegetation presents a different picture, and would have in Norse times as well. Moist meadows on gentle slopes have lush grass up to 1 foot high with many flowers. Patches of dwarf willow and birch grazed down by sheep reach only a foot and a half in height. Drier, more sloping and exposed fields carry grasses or dwarf willow up to only a few inches high. As for Greenland's wild animals, the ones potentially most important to the Norse and Inuit were land and sea mammals and birds, fish, and marine invertebrates. Greenland's sole native large terrestrial herbivore in the former Norse areas is the caribou. Polar bears and wolves were virtually confined in Greenland to areas north of the Norse settlements. Smaller game animals included hares, foxes, land birds, freshwater birds, and seabirds. The most important marine mammals were seals of 6 different species. Various species of whales occur along the coast and were successfully hunted by the Inuit, but not by the Norse. Fish abounded in rivers, lakes, and oceans, while shrimp and mussels were the most valuable edible marine invertebrates. According to sagas and medieval histories, Around the year 980, a hot-blooded Norwegian known as Erik the Red was charged with murder and forced to leave for Iceland, where he soon killed a few more people and was chased out to another part of Iceland. Having ended up there, too, in a quarrel and having killed still more people, he was this time exiled from Iceland for 3 years, beginning around 982. Erik remembered that many decades earlier, one Gunnbjorn Olsen had been blown off course while sailing for Iceland and had spotted some barren small islands which we now know lay just off Greenland's southeast coast. Erik sailed for those islands to try his luck, spent the next 3 years exploring much of the Greenland coast, and discovered good pasture land inside the deep fjords. On his return to Iceland, he lost yet another fight, impelling him to lead a fleet of 25 ships to settle the newly explored land that he shrewdly named Greenland. News brought back to Iceland of the fine homesteads available for the asking in Greenland motivated 3 more fleets of settlers to sail from Iceland during the next decade. As a result, by 1000, virtually all the land suitable for farms in both western and eastern settlements had been occupied, yielding an eventual total Norse population estimated at around 5,000, about 1,000 people at western settlement, 4,000 at eastern settlement.